Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again with us this week, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 15, Mark 15, verse number 29. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. He's there between two thieves, two transgressors, two malefactors, as the scripture tells us, the innocent between the guilty. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been loaded down with sin, as the scripture says in Corinthians, that he has been made, the Father has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. My sin has been placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there at 9 a.m. crucified, nailed to that cross, that tree, and lifted up between heaven and earth as he said that he would do. And if that would be the case, he would draw all unto him, all men unto him. He is the only Savior that there is. There's not a multitude of Saviors. There's only one. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is how he's accomplishing the salvation that he brings to his people. And as our Lord hangs there on the cross, and as I'd mentioned a time or two before, I'm of the opinion now that these crosses weren't very tall. They were tall enough to be able to get the job done, but men being utilitarian as they are, they wouldn't crucify him way 10 feet up off the ground. I think they were right there to where these revilers and mockers could come and nearly be face to face with the criminal, with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is not a criminal. And they come to mock our Lord. In verse 29 of Mark 15, "And they that passed by railed on him." They're talking to him, they're railing on him, they're mocking him and his situation. These men can do nothing. And even, you know, the scripture is very clear about capital punishment, that capital punishment is justified for certain crimes. But there should never be a torture of any man. But the Romans were good at torture. And even on top of that torture, they came by to our Lord Jesus Christ, who was innocent and is innocent. And they come and they rail on him. They mock and make accusation towards him. It says here, "wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days." The only temple that they could understand was about the temple there on the Temple Mount. But the Lord was referring to the temple of his body. And he says, they accuse him of being one that would destroy the temple. And he said unto them, "You destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up." He wasn't saying that he would destroy the temple. Yet our Lord, in fulfilling of his gospel and fulfilling all of the law, moral, ceremonial, sacrificial, the rending of the veil from top to bottom at the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he, in a sense, would destroy the temple, and Judaism would be finally done in 70 AD when Titus would come and raise Jerusalem. "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple," that was a lie, "and buildest it in 3 days," we spoke about the temple of his body, "save thyself and come down from the cross." Praise be to God he didn't come down. Praise be to God that the Lord Jesus didn't just only think about himself, but he's there dying for his people. They said, "If you want to really prove that you've got power, come down from that cross now," they say mockingly. And the Lord has told the disciples just not too long before this that there are 12 legions of angels at hand that the Lord could call upon and wipe out the inhabitants of the world in just moments. But he didn't do so. He didn't do so. And praise be to God, he didn't. Likewise also, verse 31, the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. They're mocking our Lord Jesus about the salvation that he's brought to so many. So many that have looked unto him in faith and has been saved, that he is healed, that he is touched. He's healed from their physical maladies and torments, and he's healed them and saved them from their sins. I think about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, how she would testify that the Lord cast those demons out of her and saved her soul. And they mock our Lord, saying he claimed to save others. He saved others. He can't save himself. They just don't understand what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing and paying for his people's sins. Let Christ, the King of Israel, verse 32, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And so the thieves on the right, on the left, are joining in with those that come by and say, let Christ, the King of Israel, he's got that, Pilate has put that declaration above him that he's the King of the Jews. He claims to be the Messiah, the Christ. Let him descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. But that's the very thing that doesn't need to be done. That's how little they understand about what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do and is doing. So let him come down for the cross that we may see and believe. They don't know what they're asking, and they don't know what is true and what is right. And even the malefactors, the thieves that are crucified with him, join in the reviling of our Lord. And when the sixth hour was come, noonday, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Darkness on the land as God the Father, if you will, turns his back on his Son. And Jesus suffers there alone. He suffers there alone for the sins of his people. He bears under the agony and the condemnation, the hell that my sin had coming. My Lord Jesus Christ paid for that eternity in hell upon the cross. How could it be that our Lord could do so even for one sinner? But he did. He did because he's holy and righteous and pure. He did so, and he was able to do so because he is the Son of God and the power of God. God has come down to die for his people. This is the New Testament. This is the New Testament sealed in blood. The blood of God, the blood of our Lord Jesus, the suffering, the pouring out of the soul of our Lord Jesus. God could not die, but God became a man so he could die. And the Lord, never having experienced death, never doing anything but looking on at death, is now looking and will enter into death to defeat it, to abolish it, to destroy it for the sake of his people. Praise be to God that he didn't come down. Praise be to God that he endured from the third hour into the ninth hour, 6 hours there on the cross. And at the ninth hour, verse number 34, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Understand that our Lord Jesus Christ is not taking God's name in vain here. But he's asking a question. He's crying out unto the Father, why have you forsaken me? And the Father has forsaken the Son. He has turned his back upon his only begotten Son. And the Son is there alone, suffering for the sins of his people all by himself. The fellowship with the Father that he has known from everlasting has been broken, has been turned off, has been disconnected because he has made, the Father has made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. And he is bearing the condemnation of sin just as if he was the sinner that committed them all. Yet he's innocent. He's not committed one sin. But it's just as if he has committed them all. Our Lord is suffering there. And that breaking of that fellowship and that loneliness and aloneness, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Prophesied. The suffering of our Lord Jesus' soul. And some of them, verse 35, that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. So they believe that he's calling out for Elijah. And one takes this vinegar, this wine with myrrh that was mentioned earlier, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And he took it then because his suffering was complete. And they said, quit that, stop that. Let's see if Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried, verse number 37, with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Verse 38, in the veil of the temple there in Jerusalem was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. No doubt those priests that were there on the Temple Mount, they, as the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, which doubtful that they heard, but they heard that veil renting. They heard that veil tearing. They came there in the holy place and looked onto the Holy of Holies, and they saw and they heard that veil rending from top to bottom. It was a tall thing, if I understand it right, maybe as tall as 20 to 40 feet. And our Lord Jesus has paid the debt of the sins of his people. He has come and fulfilled just what was prophesied and told Joseph by the angel that he would do. He would save his people from their sins. He's a Savior. He's the Savior. And he came and gave his life for sinners, for their sins. He willingly died. It says here, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Understand this, folks. Understand this. Death did not come on Jesus and take him. But Jesus is the only one ever that willingly stepped off into death. He allowed his body to die. He allowed his soul and his spirit to be separated from his body. He, when it was time, yielded to death. He could have stayed alive even unto this day in that condition, in that suffering. But when it was time, when he had paid the price, when the Father said, Son, you've paid the price, he gave up the ghost. If you're here and you're not, if you're listening and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way of salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No man cometh to any kind of eternity but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in this one that did these things. Believe and trust in him. Repent before God that you're the sinner that needs to be saved, that you are guilty before him. And believe and trust in him and what he's done. The account of his gospel for your need, for your soul, for your sins. I see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his good word and truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.